This episode of the Out of Bounds podcast is brought to you by Fisher's Keys.
Hi there. This is episode number 59 with Matt Maratia. Matt is a longtime friend of mine. Just overall great dude. He is a rapper from the Western Mass area. We kind of talk about how he got started in that. We just talk about some random, all kinds of random stuff from growing up, how he got into it, what it's like being the younger guy, just kind of starting out doing a new thing, especially something like that. That's so easy to just be like judgy about. I just thought it was a really cool conversation. I'm glad we got the chance to sit down and talk about it. And it was really good. I actually really enjoyed this conversation a lot, which I don't know why I'm saying that, like I'm surprised, because I know Matt and it should be really easy to talk to somebody that you know, but you don't really sit down and have like long conversation with a lot of the people that you know. Like, it doesn't happen that often. So it was cool to actually just be able to go back and forth for a while. So I hope you guys enjoy it. This episode is sponsored by Sawatch Hemp. You can save 15% on your purchase of the best in CBD product at sawatchhemp.co. It's actually sawatch.co. SAWATCH.co. And use promo code Out of Bounds, and you can save 15%. This stuff's awesome. I use the salve all the time, which is like the rub-on shit. It works great. I mean, it's straight up like it helps with swelling. It's helped a ton. Like, as a lot of you know, like I had knee surgery last year. So this has been, I mean, it's been great. It just brings the swelling way, way down. And even after like a hard ride or a run, which God knows I don't want to do ever. I mean, but when I do a run, everything's swollen, everything hurts. And just like putting a little bit of this on before and or after is huge. They did just drop some new soft gels too. So if you don't want to rub stuff on or take the dropper underneath your tongue, you can just take some soft gels. And it's awesome. Stuff works great. It's not like snake oil pills or anything. Like, it actually works. And you can definitely tell, you know, within a couple of days of using this stuff. So definitely try that stuff out. Once again, it's promo code Out of Bounds. Thank you to those guys for sponsoring the podcast and this episode of the show. You can also check them out on social media. It's just Sawatch Hemp. Yeah, that's it. And be sure to check us out on social media at Out of Podcast for all social media except for Facebook. Facebook is just the Out of Bounds Podcast, and it's one of the alien. And make sure you check out Matt on social media. I mean, he's killing it right now, so it's really, really good to see. I'm sure he plugs his own social media at the end of the show as well. But if you are curious, his social media is just at Matt Maratia. So hit him up. Tell us what you think of the show, what you thought of the episode, and stuff you want to hear more of. Tell us what you think of Matt's music. He's got a new video that just dropped on Friday. We were going to potentially drop it Friday, but I think today's just as good as any. So yeah, enjoy the episode. We'll talk to you guys afterwards.
And we tried other things along the lines of like being a band, and I just thought it was super hard getting people together to practice all the time. And I don't know, I felt like I wanted to go solo so I can just like have like more control over, I just wanted to like really zero in on making music. And I feel like it, like at that time it was just kind of like getting together jamming, and I like really wanted to start writing music and stuff. That was around like 13, 14 years old. So I got my first laptop, and I was using like GarageBand, like the first ever like version of recording on GarageBand.
That's nice.
So I was like writing raps. At first I was writing just like anything.
Yeah.
To like any like music I could find online, I would just like download, and like wouldn't even be like hip hop, it'd be like anything. It'd be like ambient sounds sometimes.
Yeah.
And I would just like write music to it. But I also had like a, outside of like Motown, my older brothers, I have three older brothers. Two of them are like very hip hop influenced. So I was like introduced to Wu-Tang, like Big L and like Big Pun and people like that at a young age. So I started getting like heavily influenced by their music, and I feel like that's kind of what swayed me towards hip hop. So like I was just writing raps, recording myself at a young age, and this was all like inside my house. So I was still like kind of discouraged by it. So I'd I'd wait for the whole family to like leave the house. I was like, oh, you guys should get away for the weekend.
Yeah, what was that like? I like, got raps your parents to record. Like you're like, hey, well, mom and dad, I'm gonna rap now. Yeah, and they were like, what?
That would be. Like, I know it was super weird at first, and like really? For a while they're like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, what is going on? What's wrong with you? But I was like, hey, like I don't know. I over time, I feel like they definitely saw I had like a passion for it.
Yeah.
And whenever someone hears, like, I mean, you look at me, I don't look like I'm this like rapper, which you is don't? Very hard to explain. I don't know. I actually don't know what. I don't know. Do I need more face tats? Coming soon. Just kidding.
If you get a big face tat,
no big
heard,
face tat.
I heard you'll sell more shit, you know? Like merch, no. Merch will fly.
The merch skyrockets, dude. But how long do you think that's going to last? Like this face tat trend?
I don't know. Can you get like those removed? Can you get face ones removed? That's probably fucking early.
I heard Soulja Boy did, but like...
Is he alive still? Didn't he die?
No.
Okay. All right, never mind. Soulja Boy's
no,
alive.
But all I right. did hear he's going to jail for like 260 days.
For
like
what?
Violating.
Also, why? Like,
violating.
260 days. What did he do for them to be like 260 days?
We're
you're
giving
going
you
to jail.
260.
Like, fuck. All right. Soulja Boy's not dead. He's
violating
just going to jail.
Probation, I guess. I don't know.
All right.
Probably a lot, he's probably got a lot going on.
Yeah, does he though? He did one song 10 years ago, 12 years
crank
ago.
Crank that Soulja Boy,
and that was it. Like,
I
what
had
else
a few,
did he
kiss me through the phone?
Okay, two, three, you like know. Maybe it was
middle
like,
school dance.
Just,
I was fucking
yeah, that was
killing
fire.
It.
That was
that
fire.
Shit.
That was fire. he had just enough so he wasn't a one hit wonder. He was yeah. like a two or three hit. Yeah. Like,
I'd say one album wonder. But like he's got like spotty songs here and there, like the shit with Drake, like Trophies and whatnot. Like that's his most.
He was
recent.
On Trophies.
Wasn't he?
I don't know.
Oh, no, he was on. No, he was on. We Made It. We
okay,
Made It.
I have no idea. Like, yeah. I have no, like, I'm not a, I definitely have not been up on Soulja Boy's career.
No?
So
you don't follow.
I don't even
closely?
Know how we got to this part of the conversation.
I don't know.
Well, anyway, well, back to our regular
I had Soulja on my mind.
Face tats, yeah. So
face
we're,
tats.
We're not going
like
to do face tats.
Out of nowhere, it's just not going to be cool anymore. And people would be like, oh, so I still have these for life?
Yeah. Like if it doesn't work out, like if they realize, yeah. like, I'm just gonna go get a desk job, but you have face tats.
Well, that's
and, like,
the thing,
you're,
like
answering insurance calls or something, you know?
It's yeah. Like, it's like, buddy,
it's kind of a tough move. Like,
at least they don't see you. At least you're over the phone.
I guess know. It's still kind of a hard sell. Either way.
It is a hard sell.
Yeah,
it's a hard sell.
So what'd your parents think? What and it's also like it's not just your parents, right? It's like you're going to school and it's like people
it's
are thinking it's weird
teachers.
On one side and then also your parents are thinking it's weird. But like
yeah.
at least parents like when they see you're into it, they're like supportive. Like
yeah.
good parents are always like I may think it's dumb, but if you're really that into it, I'm with you.
Of course.
You know?
And shout out like, to my parents because they have been yeah. extremely supportive. But like the first, yeah. at first, they're like, what are you doing? Then they see me like buying all this like equipment to like record and they're like, all right, like
what are we doing?
All right. He's like building like a studio off of our house right now. Like I used to record in the weirdest places. Like my parents had this like little addition off their room and I would set up out there.
Nice.
And like, but everything was mobile. So I had like, I could just run in there with like a laptop. And at times, like, I started like getting into acoustics and what sounded better. So I was recording in my shed in the backyard for a while. Like, things got weird. Like, I would set up like mattresses and like for like noise cancellation and whatnot. Like, but all those things like worked and it like, it kind of led to like good things because like just needed a space to create. Like, I was always a very creative kid. When I was yeah. young. So like, I feel like this was like the best outlet to let things like that out. I also felt like at a young age, like music was a great way to vent.
How so?
So like just talking about what's going on in life, what's going on with me. Not that like too much was going on, but like,
yeah,
just speaking on like,
and when you're younger too, it seems like a lot's going on. Like
yeah.
at 16, you're like, fuck, there's a lot of shit going on. And then at 22, yeah. you're like, I wish I could be 16 year old
right
now. You know?
Now it's like, fuck.
Yeah.
But
yeah, imagine at 40. Now, at 40, you're going to be like,
but like that's
that's a midlife crisis. That's why midlife yeah. crisis happens
it's
right there.
It's a crisis.
Oh, man. Quarter life crisis is a thing now. Did you hear that? Like
is that 25?
Like, yeah, 25. And
are
you're
we
like,
expected to 100 years?
I don't know. I have no idea. No, I think it's anything. Like 24, 25, 26 is your quarter life crisis,
okay,
I believe.
It's lenient.
If I'm like with the times, that's what's that's what the range is. But like, I think it's just a new way for people to complain about a lot of shit going on, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure.
Because it's the first time I've heard of it.
Like, it's my quarterly. And you're like, nah, dude, you're just 26. It's your quarter.
Yeah, yeah. 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 No, no, no. Like, shit, just like, you have to get a job now, you know? It's
like, figure it out.
Yeah, it's fucking great.
Figure it out. But yeah, man, I, so recording through middle school and just kind of like getting my music out there. I was the dude handing out mixtapes. And I would find them on the ground, and I went through the whole like, the fuck are you doing from like other people who were like, I don't see it as like a jealousy thing, but it was very different for like our age. Like
I think it is kind of a jealousy. It's not like jealousy is kind of the wrong. I don't think there's a good word for it either, though. It's like, it's just when like, you're doing shit that other people aren't doing, it's like they feel
outside of the norm.
They need to say something because it's not the normal thing.
Of course.
Yeah.
So like I would always try to promote my stuff, like mainly through school, obviously, because that was my main network. Obviously online. MySpace was the first time I posted a song.
Did you have your song as your MySpace song?
150%.
Really?
People wanted it. Like,
fucking awesome.
Yeah, people would like comment like, what the hell is this? Because I didn't even like, nowadays I promote my music before I drop it, but back then I just put it out there and they're like, what?
Yeah, what is happening?
And like, it would be like a shitty sounding recording and everything. Like,
yeah,
it's come a long way. But like, back then I was just putting things out to put them out.
Yeah.
Which is also interesting because like one of my... My first mixtape ever was like 25 songs.
Really?
And it was, yeah, dude.
Nobody told you that you should like cut it down a little bit.
No, that's the thing.
Nobody was like, hey, dude, trim it a little bit.
But the thing back then was like, I wasn't like working with producers. I was just finding beats online. Yeah, and like,
that's fair.
Shout out to Dat Piff. That's the first place I ever.
Dat Piff.
Dat Piff. That was the big mixtape place.
Fuck.
So upload everything on there, man. Like, so my first mixtape was Make It Happen. was the name, and like literally like 25 songs. I want to say like 20 were like remixes of like just like popular songs at the time. But man, I did my thing on Make It Happen. No bullshit.
It wasn't that bad, dude. It was pretty fucking good. I listened to that shit after.
There's got to be a burnt CD somewhere that someone has. I need it, actually.
Yeah, it's in the fucking middle school hallway right now. Still, it's
like lodged. Actually, there's got to be something out there. Yeah. No, definitely. Yeah. Maybe like if the janitor's still there,
It's on Dat Piff still.
It's definitely private.
Is Dat Piff still a website?
Absolutely.
All right. Well,
not as popular, but
yeah, it's a different thing now.
Still uploading.
Huh.
So yeah, just making music through middle school, high school, and decided I wanted. Well, like I was always looking to take it to the next level. It wasn't something I was like very content with at all. Yeah. Like I always wanted more. So I started reaching out for like shows.
Yeah.
And obviously I saw people are coming through like Northampton, Boston, like
yeah.
Nothing like too local. So like Northampton was kind of the closest venue where like
yeah.
You could maybe get a shot. So like 16 I was reaching out to them and I was like I saw like the Iron Horse.
Yeah.
And I saw like an artist at the time who came through who was coming through in the near future was Malfi. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Malfi.
Shout out Malfi.
Wherever he is. Star fucking Gang.
Malfi's lost now.
Star Gang.
He's lost out in the fucking wilderness, I think. But
but it was
he's
crazy.
Fucking out there.
And like this is the first time like I started realizing like how the music industry kind of works. Cause
yeah.
As an opener, I was just looking to be an opener. And it was kind of like, what can you do for us to open? So I was like, oh, I can like sell tickets and like make sure everyone comes to this show. So like I was literally selling like, and I wasn't profiting at all. Like I didn't know shit. Like I was just so happy to get my
that's
kind of
what
first,
you gotta
yeah.
do, though, right? Like
it's
the, not right.
It's doing the groundwork.
It's
to,
not
like,
right, but
to
like
get an opportunity.
Yeah, exactly. Like should you have? Yeah, I mean.
But I also got super played. So like,
100%. But you get played. That's part of it. Like you kind of have to get played for anybody to be like, he knows what's up. We can't play him anymore. You know
exactly.
It's like, otherwise,
yeah. So now
they got different shit. They're gonna
the
play
rules
with.
Have completely reversed. But like, I'm a 16-year-old kid. I'm like, oh, I can perform. Like,
yeah, I can.
So
pay.
I'm literally selling like 80 to 90 tickets, just bringing this venue like $2,500 to $3,000 in my pocket the day of the show, and I'm like, here, guys.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go on stage for a half hour. And then, how crazy is that?
It
like,
is.
Dude,
it's
when I was younger,
fucking...
like, venues were like, yeah, you can perform just, like, 4,000 down, and we'll just, like, you can, like, try to make your money back. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, that's fucking...
But like, so yeah, that was my first ever show, and me and my buddy Andy McNulty were nonstop harassing the Iron Horse to get this show. And we were just like, email him every other day, no response. So I feel like this guy just got so fed up. Like, he could have blocked the email, that could have been easy, but he just responded. It was like, in all caps, it was like, all right. But no, he like finally, because like he gave us, he's like, can you like sell all these tickets? And we're like, hell yeah, you kidding me? Like, we're gonna flood the school tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. We go to high school, like, of course we can sell all these tickets. Like, you know, when people go to high school,
crazy, like, man. So like that, I remember tweeting that out, and like Twitter was huge back then. I mean, it's still big, but not as big as it was. So like I tweeted that out, and that must have got like the craziest response I've ever gotten on Twitter. Like, people just hit me up, how can we get tickets? We want to come support, which is like awesome, man. Like, that's such a great feeling. Like, people actually like interested, because like at that time I didn't have like a lot of listeners, but people were like, oh, like, he does this thing, like, it'd be cool to see it live.
Yeah,
which was like a whole new aspect. And like I said, I did like the talent shows and stuff, but this was a whole new thing. Like, this is me alone with a DJ, my music that I'm making like in a shed, and like, now we're gonna go in front of like half the high school, maybe, like, maybe not that many people, but a good amount of people. And I was like, oh shit, like, it's go time. It's really go time, man. Like,
yeah,
I want to say there was a good like probably like 400 people there,
it was packed. I was
absolutely
there.
Packed. I mean,
it was
fucking
busy as
thank you, sir. Appreciate you being there, honestly.
Fucking that girl fell down the stairs.
Girl fell down the stairs.
Dude, tumbled. Like, actually, like
17 stairs. We weren't even drinking like
that. We weren't even drinking. I don't even think we could drink. Even, no, like, we were drinking maybe before. I don't know what she was drinking, but whatever she was drinking was like,
took a topple.
She did one of those tuck and rolls that you see in like action movies, you know, like stuntmen do.
Super dramatic, too. And I feel like all 400 people were just, you know, when like,
oh, everyone
just shifted their head over, and they're like,
it was like a movie scene. It was really like a movie scene where like you see everybody's reactions and the camera pans to everybody different. Like, oh, like, what?
I'm just glad I wasn't on stage when it happened, because everyone would have looked over there and nothing.
It
would
have killed it. It would have killed the vibe. Nobody else was like, can you top that, dude?
Yeah,
can you top
that,
bro?
Shit, this girl stole the show.
Yeah, there's no chance. Yeah. That was tough. She got up, walked away, though. So, I mean, that's all good. Yeah, no stretcher needed. Good for her. That's a tough girl.
Yeah, man. The first time getting on stage was like alone, like with my hip hop career, was awesome, man. Like, all these people coming out to see me, and obviously seeing Malfi, which was cool. And he showed a lot of love. Like, met with him a few times before, because he was doing this t-shirt tour.
Yeah.
Where he was stopping, which is actually a great idea. Like, he was stopping.
It's a good idea.
And all these different locations where people like requested him to come, and he was just pulling up and like setting up a merch table.
Yeah.
Just in these random spots. So we went to Main Street Park. It's the first time I ever met him, dude. Like, there's mad people playing basketball and shit. Like, just balling out. And like, he just pulls up. Some people like hated him, and they're like, who the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, some people were like leaving the games to like buy merch from him and like talk to him and shit. Cause he was popping, man.
He was popular for sure. Like, 100%
was
popular.
He was popping out here, like, man. Like, a lot of people like love to see him, and like, just want to know more about him. So like, myself included, like, went up to him. I was like, yo, I'm like opening for you. It was my first show ever. Like, he showed mad love. Like,
yeah,
so I was gonna do great. And like, he actually like appreciated me like selling a bunch of tickets for his show as well. Like, people don't realize people I bring are gonna see him as well.
Yeah.
So it's like,
I think people don't realize that about shows in general. It's like, the guy that's opening a lot of times is the guy that's pushing the tickets
bringing
a lot
of
them, because
of
it's like, he cares more to get those fucking people in the seats. And he has more at stake.
Of course.
It's like, but the guy that's headlining is like, people are going to fucking be here either
way.
They come,
you know?
They come.
Because like, most headliners get a flat rate anyway.
It's like, you're getting paid.
Of course, you're getting paid,
you know?
Yeah.
So
he's like, if they come, they come. I'm getting paid regardless.
So you'd never talked to him before that point, though. So like, you were headline, you were already scheduled the headline for him, and then you had never met him before that.
Never
and
met
like,
him.
So it
so
was
that's
just
kind of how venues work, too.
That's how it usually works, though, huh?
They're like, hey, what can you do for us? And we'll throw you on this bill.
I didn't know that.
And what's crazy is they'll do that with like 2-3 people, like have them sell the tickets, and then the headliner just like kind of, so like a headliner on tour who might not have a strong following in an area, they'll have like 6 openers who will bring like 30 people each.
Hmm.
You know? So like, that's like what you got to learn about the game too. So like,
that's so weird.
So after that first headlining, opening for Malfi like the first time, like, kept opening shows. So my next show was also in Northampton at, it's actually Pearl Street Nightclub downstairs, not the ballroom, but like downstairs, yep. Like a 600 cab is for Mike Studd. I want to say on like one of his first tours, actually, is him and Huey Mack. And that one also sold out. So my first two shows like sold out. A lot of I'm like, people. Damn, dude, yeah. Like this is kind of sick. Like again, sold like 100 tickets, bro. I'm like, dude,
still drinking what the juice. What is going on? Yeah, like,
this I'm like 17 now, like 16, 17, and I'm like, this is still dope. Like I'm performing. Like I got my boys on stage. Like,
yeah,
DJ. Like we're having a great time, just wilding out. Like people are loving it. Actually, like one of my favorite performing photos of me is at this show because like it literally shows like everyone just like going crazy.
Yeah.
And like I'll send you the picture if you like upload anything or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, dude, it was just sick. Like everyone I know just going crazy, loving the music. At this point, like after the first show, more people are actually listening to me.
Yeah.
So like the second show, people like knew the words and stuff, and I was like, oh wow, like did not expect that. Like people singing my songs and stuff. So like, and that's why I always say like my best aspect of music is performing.
Yeah.
Because you may never hear my music, but if you hear something live that you like, I feel like that speaks volumes.
Yeah.
Like if you leave a show with like a newfound respect for something, like that makes you want to go back and listen to it more. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It kind of goes the other way usually, right? Like it's like people are like, they're good when they're recorded and like, then you go and see them and they're like, eh, it was all right.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? But that's also my thing. Like I feel like I get the best out of my performances because I try to bring as much energy as possible. Like almost like shooting a music video. That's bringing the song to life. This is like how people see you act like while you're performing, and not only like they want to see how like passionate you are. Like I never want to be that dude just standing on stage singing or something. I want to be like that dude like jumping into the crowd, even going down in the crowd and like performing songs like right in the belly of the beast. Like that's what I want to be doing. And like people appreciate that.
Yeah.
And like even like, so another thing is like crowd interaction. I like to really just like interact with the crowd a lot. Cause I just think like people are like buying these tickets and coming out, like spending their time with you.
Yeah.
Like these shows are like a specific moment in time for me. Like they mean like the world to me. Performing is my favorite thing of all time. Like, dude, I feel like a little kid at like the night before Christmas before a show. Like it's insane. Like it's the best feeling ever. And like even hitting the,
you like it. So like even like your first one, like, cause I was thinking first before one, I was
very,
like,
very jittery.
First one had to be like when you give a presentation in class, like that kind of feeling, 100%. Except like times 400 or some shit, man. You know, it's like, of you're course. Just like, that's, yeah, that's,
it's so unbelievable. Crazy. But like at the end of the day, like I, after like performing music, like if I were to go back into school and like, present something, it'd be a breeze, dude.
Yeah, it'd kill all the presidents.
I would look the teacher dead in the eye.
Be like, I'm not reading anything.
Just recite. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It'd be a fucking breeze, dude.
But, yeah, it's true, though. Like, really, like, even just doing this, like, I can tell you, like, I could give a presentation to anybody.
I couldn't do this 4 years ago.
It's so crazy. Like it's such a weird thing.
I'd be going crazy in my head, man. Like,
it's a head thing. It's all a head thing. It's nuts. Fucking,
and you know
crazy.
What's also crazy? So like, obviously I have to support my music. I'm not signed. So I've always worked like side jobs. I've always worked in like restaurants, things I can make side cash. Cause what people don't realize is like, well, the average person, if you're in music, you'll realize like this costs money. Like whether it's gear, whether you're paying for beats, paying for studio time, so like I'll pay producers for beats. Like those don't just like fall in my lap. It's obviously like something you want to like build a relationship with, like with a producer, and like maybe sometimes they want to work with you. But I'll like, when I was younger, I was just sending emails to producers like, hey, can I get some beats? And they'd be like, yeah, here's the price. And I'm like, ooh. You know,
it's like, it'll be $7,000 for a fucking beep boop pop 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 pop.
It wouldn't be that much. Like I wouldn't be looking to lease a Kanye West beat, but it'd be it'd be like producers here and there that are like, all right, like 50, 75 bucks. Like, you can, like, the beat's yours. And I'd be like, all right. But, like, I didn't really have, like, income. So
is there,
like
a school discount? School, yeah. Like, I go to school. Is there a high school discount?
I got lunch tokens. Like, but, no, like, it costs money. So To this day, I still work side jobs. Like, and back then, like, by no means were the shows paid. I was making zero money off shows.
Yeah.
Zero. If anything, I was paying.
Like, yeah.
So, like I said, I'm selling 100 tickets. I'm driving all over, like, Western Mass, delivering tickets. Like,
yeah, I remember that. I remember dude, I'd be trying to, like, off to people.
Yeah,
like,
I felt like the craziest drug dealer because I'd be like, yo, like, you still meet me at the Taco Bell parking lot in 20 minutes? And, like, I would just pull up and, like, it'd be the sketchy, like, transaction. But, like, end of the day, if I was pulled over, it'd be like, yeah, I'm performing
to a show. Yeah, I'm just trying.
It's not crack.
I'm just trying real hard to sell
tickets. I just want a good show.
Yeah, I just want the club to do well.
I'd be like popping the trunk open. I'm like, no, it's in the trunk. Like, yeah. Meet me back there. Just crazy. But no, man, like, it was very weird. So, like, time goes on, like, still, like, opening for, like, semi, like, respectable names, like Cam Meekins.
Yeah.
Did shows with, like, King Los. Who else? Cassidy. Drank in my two-step. You know what I mean? Like,
Cassidy's, like, a big one.
But things started expanding. So, like, I started looking outside of Western Mass and got my first, like, out-of-the-area show, like, still in the state. But did a show with Cam Meekins the day after Christmas. I want to say, damn, what was the year? This is bad that I don't. I definitely still have the ticket stub somewhere, but it was the day after Christmas, and it was at the Middle East in Boston upstairs, which is like a smaller venue, like maybe like 300 cap. And great show. Like, and that's a show where it wasn't just me opening. There'd be like 3-4 people.
Mm-hmm.
So like I said, with like other openers bringing their crowd and like getting in front of the, having like the headliner get a new crowd, they're also seeing me, which is cool.
Yeah.
So I noticed like on social media and stuff, I was getting more followers like doing these opening acts because like other people from other areas, like I had people coming up from Western Mass, and like it became this like, started noticing it became this like collaborative thing between like meeting artists at these shows and like getting in front of their fan base, they're getting in front of my fan base, like whoever the headliner brought out, we're all just kind of like coming together and just performing, having a good time, like sharing music, just having, you know, just like everyone's gaining a new fan base, everyone's like getting their music out there. So Boston was like the next step. I've always had like, so the Boston scene right now is going crazy, man. Like,
yeah,
shout out like Cousin Stiz, like Tim LaRue is doing great things for his artists, like Michael Christmas.
Michael Christmas?
You know Michael Christmas?
No, I don't know Michael Christmas. Dude. What kind of last name is cool Christmas?
I don't think it's his real name.
I'm sure it's.
Dude.
I hope it is, but it's probably not. But I
yeah,
mean,
and he opened all of Logic's tour. He did like half of Good AM's Max tour. Like rest in peace, Mac Miller. Obviously, jeez.
Jesus Christ.
But yeah, yeah, he did like half of his Good AM tour. But yeah, no, the Boston scene's crazy. But yeah, after the Boston show, just like kept creating music. I want to say it was like junior year of high school now. Putting out mixtapes. Like at this time, I probably have 4 or 5 mixtapes. Back then, I was putting out a lot of content.
Yeah.
A lot of content. So now I'm in high school and like at the same time, I'm playing sports and stuff. So it was always kind of weird. Like when coaches find out and like teachers and like there'd be teachers like playing my music in class. I'm like, viewer discretion, like, don't get mad at me if I'm swearing and you're playing it in class. Like, that's on you. Yeah.
You hit play.
But, like, I don't know. Back then, like, people really thought it was, like, a joke and stuff. But, like, which was cool to me. I had to expect that.
Yeah, how much did you, like, think about that going into it? Because it's, like, that's...
It'd be more, like, social media stuff. So, like, people from other towns, like, who the fuck is this fag? Like,
yeah,
that's,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
but
yeah,
that's what I would hear. That's
yeah,
that's what people,
that's
like, say to me. And I'm like,
saying,
come
yeah,
on, man.
Yeah,
like,
it's, like, whatever.
It's nothing to
people
do.
People are idiots on the internet. I mean, people do that shit
thing,
all the
like,
time.
But which is fine. Like, we do it to artists. Like, we're just talking face tats. Like, I think that's ridiculous.
I think it's ridiculous. If you get one that's cool and it means something to you.
But in their head, they're making all this money and they feel like that's something that won't affect them. Like,
or on the flip, they're like, this is cool.
Yeah, that's,
can you imagine? Like, just being like, this is cool, you know?
Well, if you look at Wiz Khalifa's story, he literally tatted his entire body. So he had no other choice but to make music. He's like, I'll never want to work a real job. I'm going to tap my body, and it's going to be back against the wall from here on out.
That's That's a weird way to do it, but I respect it, I guess.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Like, if that's what gets you going, I don't
think
my...
I
don't think my fucking... Like,
ink my whole body.
No, I'm all good. I'm all good.
No, I'm not a big tattoo guy regardless. Like, image to me, image and music is huge right now, which I feel like is sort of a downfall for me. Like, I'm not your...
I was going to ask you about that. Do you have, like, a... Do you have a shtick that you do? Like, a little... Do you have, like, a...
No, hey man, like, I wake up and dress how I want to dress.
You're the same.
I act the same with everyone. I treat everyone equally. I don't want to be this. I never want to be this person that's like, hey, I make music. I'm starting to get like a little bit of traction with this, and I don't want to be that dude that just acts different because of a little bit of success. You know?
Yeah.
That's something I always want to stay true to, honestly, because I don't know. I like people in general, and I never want to be like the person that's talked about who like changed.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a good joke though. Like when people are like, you've changed, man.
You've
like,
changed.
You're like, performing what? Places now. You've changed.
Like, it doesn't change me as a person, you know? Like,
it's like you're different now.
And there's also times where people think I changed.
I think people just want to say that.
Because, like, yeah.
People just want to go, you've changed. Like,
You know where I really started seeing this? When I went away to, I went to college, actually, after high school at Worcester State in Worcester.
Why do you say that? Like, it's surprising. Like, I went to college, actually. Like, it's like, I'm a rapper, and
college
I went to college. Like,
Okay, we'll keep the piece of paper in the back pocket for now.
Just in case.
I want to make my parents happy, you know?
Yeah, same. That's a good idea.
Mainly. Very mainly.
Yeah.
So, did that. I actually had to take, like, a semester off because music keeps going. I'm starting to spread the music at school. I'm out at Worcester State, closer to Boston. So, it was really nice because I could travel out there where I'd be performing a lot.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to break into the Boston scene a lot, so I was doing a lot of shows out there, like bringing my crowd from Worcester out there and all this other stuff. So I come across my first tour, which was, so there was me from the East Coast. There was an artist, Matt Easton. Shout out Matt Easton. He was from Chicago at the time. But they also, Matt Easton went to school at KU, Kansas. Or is it UK? University of Kansas? Or is it Kansas University? I think it was KU. Jayhawks.
Dude, I have no idea.
Regardless, Jayhawks.
Somebody's probably getting real mad at us right
now.
Think like,
so?
You don't fucking know where they're
I don't. I don't.
I don't know.
I should know because I fucking performed
Definitely,
on their campus.
See, all right. So that's like, you didn't have to say
I'm giving
that
them too
like
much
that.
Information. They're getting too much ammo on me now.
You've been there, dude.
So anyway, it was him from Chicago and then out in California. Well, they're from New Hampshire, but a group called Academy. So they played like, it was like a, not reggae, but it was like a hip hop reggae type duo.
Okay.
But it was, you ever heard of Air, AER?
Yeah.
So like, it was that kind of music, like laid back, like chill, like summer type stuff. So we had these three artists and we thought it was like very beneficial, which it was actually to do like a Midwest tour where not so much my fan base was huge, but theirs was bigger. So they set up this tour, and I actually bought onto this tour. And this is like where the music, this is where I started learning a lot about the music business.
Yeah.
So I put down like a down payment, which included like travel and stay and all this, but like I had potential to make money back and whatnot. So like, I mean, end of the day, I kind of broke even, which is fine. All this whole thing's worth the experience. So the tour was like through Colorado, we did Kansas, we did Nebraska, we did Iowa. It was like three stops in Kansas. We did Iowa, we did Chicago. And so it was throughout the whole stretch, like we did a few spots in each state. So it was 12 shows in 13 days. So flew out to Denver where we had our first show. And beautiful city. I love it out there. I love Colorado. You've obviously been out there quite some time.
Once or twice, yeah.
Once or twice.
Yeah.
But, and this was like a very like surreal thing for me. I flew to Colorado alone. I met with these random people I've never met. Obviously, we talked on the internet and like emailed.
Isn't that so fucking weird?
Nuts, dude. Like, I didn't know. Meeting
people from the internet. Like
we met
time.
At a hotel where we were staying
first time I
night
did that
one.
With someone, I met them at a restaurant and it was like.
It was just some guy in the corner with like a newspaper.
Oh, it was a group. Even worse. I showed up late, you know, and it was like, it's a group of people I was meeting. And I was like, hey, are you guys the internet?
Are you the ones?
Are you the ones from the Instagrams? Like, you know?
Yeah,
like,
from the Instagrams place.
Yeah.
Isn't it crazy, though? So, like, it was this awkward silence. So I was like, hey, like, tourists tonight, huh? But no, like, they actually laughed their ass off to
I'm
that, too.
Sure, and I'm sure I'd laugh.
To be honest, these were, like, great guys, and we all hit it off, and we had a great stretch. And what I learned a lot was, like, on the booking side of things and like what needed to be done. Like, so we had a tour manager who I would just like pick his brain and stuff. On like how all this came about. And it was mainly like demographic. Like they got all their analytics through like Spotify where songs were being played. And it was very, very, very like eye opening to me. Cause like, this is the first time I'm leaving Massachusetts to perform ever.
Yeah.
And I'm going across the country.
Going far.
People out here have never heard me. I'm on my own. Kind of nervous. Very nervous. But like, first show in, we did great. Huge crowd. Cervantes was the venue in Colorado. Very nice venue. Like, a lot of big artists go through. Like
I think I've been there, actually, yeah.
Dude, super nice.
Yeah.
So our all of our venues were like 300, 400 people. And Cervantes has obviously like a ballroom too, where like Action Bronson's fucking headlined and things. I think he does a show every Halloween actually out there.
Really?
Yeah. Fuck, that's delicious. Is that the show?
Yeah, that dude's a shit.
Yeah, he is a shit.
He's fucking awesome.
Shout out Action Bronson.
Shout out Action Bronson. Can you imagine if Action Bronson
Thanksgiving Toikey Bigs. He says that in a song.
Does he really?
Yeah. Oh. He loves food.
He loves food. He's good at food, for sure. He's definitely good at
true
food.
HBO
dude, he's
show
got, yeah, that, like, he looks like he's good at food, too. No bullshit. Like, he looks like he's good at food.
Real food enthusiast.
Yeah.
But
an athlete. That's what he says, dude.
He's an athlete?
He's a fucking athlete.
He can cartwheel, though.
Can he?
I've seen it. Not God personally, damn. But there's a video out there. Action Bronson cartwheeling.
Oh, all right, well, we'll look that up. We'll link that in to
link
this
that in.
Episode.
Stay tuned.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I'm taking my music out to Colorado, and we're going on these eight-hour drives. But the best thing, like, this is the best, like, music experience I've ever had because, like, I'm still recording, like, a basement on my own stuff. I'm doing all the audio engineering. I'm doing all the producing mainly. I'm making sure I have all these, like, all my show like versions of my songs. I burnt I had one suitcase that was full of burnt CDs of mine.
Really?
Swear, dude. Like I literally filled the suitcase and I was just launching them out at every show. Like everywhere we stopped, like had some merch with me, business cards. I was just trying to spread the word. But like the response I got out there was like something that really it was kind of mind altering and life changing because like I said, I'm making music in a basement and people were loving it, dude.
Really?
Loving it. They've never heard of me. I go out there, I'm jumping around, I'm showing all this energy, and I'm performing songs that no one's ever heard. And like people are coming up to me after shows, like, who are you? Like, how can we follow your music? Where can I follow you? Like, it's just so crazy. Like, that was one of the craziest feelings ever. And the show, we had a show at Iowa State, like right off campus.
Mm-hmm.
And like people are coming up to me asking for my autograph, bro. And that was like insane. Like I was handing out CDs before my set. Like people were like, people were like bringing up the CD. They're like, you gotta sign this. And I was like, oh shit,
fuck.
And like these are still people that like follow me on Instagram. They follow like everything I drop, and they'll like still.
Yeah.
I keep in contact with them. Like
that's fucking.
It's
awesome.
Really cool, man. Like it was just like an awesome experience. So we did all the shows. We did like a. Sorority like acoustic set, dude.
Sick.
In Kansas State. Amazing, dude.
Really?
So like Matt Easton plays piano.
Good shit.
So he was just shredding on piano. I did like two of my songs like over his piano. We didn't even practice. So I was like, oh shit. Like so there's like 50 chicks just sitting down in front of this like
this goes
grand
poorly.
Piano, dude.
Oh my god.
Like
fuck.
But no, it went very well, and I'm very happy it did, because like we went out and partied with him and shit after. Like, it was great.
Yeah.
It was great. Kansas is cool.
Shout out Kansas.
Not a place I would like make a destination to travel to, but with the music, I'll go anywhere.
Yeah, but like maybe other places.
Yeah,
maybe different.
There's other places top
priority.
There's
other places other than Kansas, yeah, you know?
Of course, man.
Yeah.
But man, like the touring experience was just something I really wanted to do for a while, and I'm glad I could. To this day, it's probably my favorite music memory.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So you just did a show in Amherst, right?
I just did UMass Spring Fest, which was like one of my biggest crowds ever.
How'd it go?
It was a sold out show.
Fuck yeah. Do you only sell out shows, dude?
Like, No. Dude, there's been No,
are you one of those guys?
No, there's truly there's been shows I performed and there's like six people like sitting at a bar like back turned to me.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck. Like, but dude, my thing is like, if there's 10 people or 10,000, I want to perform, because you never know who's.
I feel that.
Especially in like a sold out crowd, you never know who's lurking in the back, like looking to like
100%.
Not sign someone, but just be like, oh, like how?
Just
can
we, listening. That's
how can
dude. I told you this too. Like, it's the same thing. Like, if we get one new listener out of somebody being on the show, or we get one new listener out of me talking to somebody,
absolutely.
One is better than fucking none every day of the week. Like,
absolutely.
I don't care if it's one or 100, doesn't matter. You know,
100%, man.
So it's the right way to look at it, I think.
100%, dude. So like every show, I try to just like just give it my 100%. Like I leave the stage dripping sweat. Like, so like if they don't fuck with it,
you're very mobile.
Yeah. Oh,
you're definitely mobile. You're an athlete. You know, you thanks, action man. Bronson, bro.
More,
you're
more
an athlete.
Cartwheels on stage. I don't know. We'll ease into that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just try to like bring full energy. Like, I feel like people like gravitate towards that. So it's definitely helped when like the crowd doesn't know me and they just want to like have a good time. They'll just start jumping around with me and stuff. But like,
yeah,
this past show, UMass, like the amazing, like people, it was like a big day drink for them.
Yeah.
So like people are just cocked.
Yeah.
Night before, like it rained really bad. So I don't know whose decision this was.
That. Yeah.
But they put the stage on a baseball diamond.
Nice. That
Bro,
seems like a good idea.
It was a mud pit.
Yeah.
For, and not for me. No, I was on stage.
Yeah. I'm sure. No, you're not with the peasants, huh?
No,
like,
no. That's hilarious. But seriously.
No, no, but really, no. Like, I mean, who's up there? Who's down there? I mean, it's like.
That is awful.
Can you imagine being down there, dude?
No. So, look, I'm looking down trying to have, like, a straight face. Like, I'm having a great fucking time. But there are people sliding through the mud. Like,
see, but they're probably loving it,
Loving it, dude. Like, yeah. Loving it.
Yeah.
Till they, like, get in someone's car and they're like, you actually don't have a ride home because you are a mud pit.
Yeah, or worse, this isn't, I don't know you.
Yeah.
This isn't your car. You know, like, no. And you're a mud pit. It's like.
No, but yeah, no. So I had like a half hour out there and great response. Like, people were loving it. Like, everyone's just having a good time, which is cool. Like, those kind of shows are weird because not everyone's there to like directly see me.
Yeah, they're just there.
And I'm there mainly to try to gain a new audience and see how it goes.
And it's serious for you. Like, it's important to you. And sometimes for them, it's like there's an activity to go do. It's
so
like,
a lot of people, like, I was going to get into this later, but I'm working with a management team right now.
Okay.
Shout out to Mellowship Entertainment.
That's
who I've been working with. They're more working with me, and they do a lot of booking in New England, kind of all over. They're more on like festival booking side.
Okay.
So they're doing Summerfest in Milwaukee, where like the range of artists is insane. Like the Killers, like they'll have Lionel Richie, like Michael McDonald.
Jesus
they'll have
Christ.
Like the Commodores, and like it's insane. Like Lady Gaga and shit. And like it's this like 4-day festival that like they're actually just working on. But they're looking to break into different sides of music. So Alexis, who's like mainly working with me, is like my manager. Has been helping me on like the booking side of things, and last September I did the Big E, and they got me that show, which is like, if you don't know what the Big E is, it's an Eastern States Exposition.
It's a shit show.
It is a
it's
shit
a
show.
2 week long. Listen, I can explain.
Adam,
this shit.
Adam knows
I can
about
explain
the Big
this shit pretty good, dude. It's a 2 week long.
Explain the people.
Oh, dude, the people are all not people. They're animals. They're all animals. You go to the Big E, you Break talk to shit. Me. I'm listening to you like you're talking to me in animal language.
Yeah.
We're not having a real
Half
conversation.
Half of them are just drunk.
I know. That's what just it is. Drunk. It's like it's the only place in
Especially
Western
Especially you.
Mass.
You're like, you're trying to.
I'm working. Yeah, of I'm course. Like selling. I'm like talking oh, about shit. Skis and like people are cocked at 10 a.m. Yeah. And yeah, it's like, it's where nuts. Did you even find alcohol at 10 a.m.? Yeah. Then I think about it and I'm like, oh, dude, the giant martini, double decker martini tent next to me with a fucking elevator in it. That's where you found it. Oh, cool.
Funny about the double decker, actually.
Did you fall off, dude?
No, like, my stage was right next to it.
I
so
know. That's
people were just so
crazy.
Drunk. And like, it was cool because whoever wasn't there to see me, so I was right in the middle of like walking traffic, like next to one of the gates.
That was a good spot.
100%, dude. So like people walking by who like just wanted to hear some music would come over and be like, who's this? Like, what's going on? Like, but I still had like a crowd that I brought in.
Yeah.
But like people were walking down from the martini bar, like the double decker. Like I can see like trails of people just like coming down, which was cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just
fucking the, Big E.
Yeah, the Big E, man.
That's so soon.
Isn't it? Dude, time is flying.
Dude, when I think about the Big E, we should move on from the Big E after
yeah,
this. Because like,
my
anxiety,
anxiety. I can
dude,
see you
my
right
anxiety
now.
Is like through the fucking roof.
You're like, shit. You're like, you're already getting like your
dude,
tent together.
I'm like ready to fight somebody already. It's like, dude, every year I say I will not come back to the Big E. And every yeah. fucking year I'm back. And I'm like, hey, how can I tell you about this ski? You know, it's like every.
Which, by the way, I had a few people buy some skis off
Oh,
here.
Fucking hey. Like, that's yeah. great. Like that's
I
like,
saw some dude like, actually, he said he was coming to my concert. I'm pulling up to my own show. I see him walking out with some skis. I go, tell me you bought those for my boy Adam. He was like, yeah. And I was like, but where are you going, dude? The concert's this way.
Show.
He goes, dude, I have to put these skis at my house.
Can you imagine if he was like.
So, dude, you took away like 3 fans.
Sorry. My bad. My
it's
bad.
It's fine. He got some good quality skis.
He got some good skis. Maybe. I mean, he'll come you know, to the next one. Yeah. I won't sell him skis again next year, yeah. probably. So you fucking get him next year, you know? So
yeah, I'll get this. He'll be at the next show.
Fuck. All right. So you're working with this booking team.
Yeah. So they've. This is like. So this is like kind of. A very good situation for me. Before I'd be doing all the booking, reaching out to venues, like having a budget, like buying all my own merch, which I'm still doing. New merch on the way, by the way. Beep, 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 beep. We got long sleeves, we got tees, hoodies, hats.
Coming to a TV channel near you.
Yes. Let's get that going.
Mm-hmm.
But I was doing all that before, but like now I'm in a position where I can really just focus on visuals and the creation of music, and this team, which I'm so glad I have, is really working on like the business side of things for me, and just like not only doing that, like there's been people before who want to like manage my music and stuff, but this is the first time people are looking out for my best interests.
Yeah,
like there'll be opportunities that like get past my way, but they're like, no, you don't need to be doing this right now, like we can find you something not like better but more like fit to your style.
Yeah.
Like before I would just perform anywhere.
Whatever's gonna give you the work
anywhere.
To take. Yeah. Which is good and bad, I guess, right? Like it's like I mean you can kind
of new audiences or it can be kind of like a downer if people just like aren't into it. Cause like there'd be like I was
yeah.
there'd be shows I was just like pulling up to these like and like I don't by no means do I make like hood rap music, but like there'd be like some sketchy like there's like warehouse. I was performing warehouses in like Roxbury, dude, where like I was the only like white dude
is.
In there. It's in Boston.
Oh, all right.
But dude, just like very hood, like sketchy places, and like I was definitely looked at a little different, which is like expected. But at the same
yeah.
time, I gotta expect that stuff in this game, you know? Like
yeah,
I know what I'm getting myself into.
Yeah.
But from the music aspect, like my stuff doesn't really fit that category. I would say my music is more like an alternative hip hop.
Yeah, I agree.
You know,
I agree. I think that makes sense.
Like, there's some like there's songs like Al Capone that are definitely like harder.
Yeah,
but I still have like my latest EP, Happy Medium's, more like it's I wouldn't say like an emotional album, but it definitely touches upon a lot of like life experiences. It's not something I wanted to have like all these like hard beats over. It's like it's definitely a more like laid back project.
Yeah.
But that's it, like so contrasting between those two like styles. I want to be very versatile. I don't want to be like a one tracked like this is what I'm making. This is what you'll expect from me every time. I want to be someone that can adapt to a festival, can adapt to like an intimate setting, can like play a family friendly show. You know what I mean? So yeah. Like, and that's also something that I've been like, so I couldn't swear at the Big E.
Really?
No.
Everybody's swearing. I mean.
So I was just left out?
Yeah. No, like nobody told you to come to the swear party, dude. Like, dude, I mean, it's like.
I would have let him rip. You know what I swore after? Like the whole ride home. Like,
fuck.
You need to get out of here. Out, dude. Yeah, you need to get I out called of someone just to swear at him.
Yeah. And they were like, what? And then you hung up.
I was
yeah.
like, just kidding. Yeah. Not it's really. Like,
sorry, mom.
Right? Yeah. That'd be messed up.
That'd be fucking mad.
But yeah, so the like I'm in a position right now where I'm mainly just creating music. I got a lot on the way. I got some upcoming shows. I guess I'll announce this here. So we have a new casino in the area, MGM Springfield.
We do.
They're going to be hosting an outdoor concert series, so I'll be headlining July 12th. It's a Friday Sick. Night, 8 p.m. It's Fuck a free yeah. show. Come all. Bring your kids.
July 12th?
It is also family friendly, so yeah, July 12th.
So no swearing?
No swearing.
Huh.
Yeah, it is tough, man, but I got to do what I got to do, you know?
That's fair, though. I mean, It'll MGM's be, MGM, you know? Yeah. So it's a good show.
Yeah, I guess, like, some dude was swearing, like, one of their first concerts, and it just, like, there's, like, blackballed, like, never asked back.
People were like, yeah.
People
yeah.
were pissed. Yeah. Because you never know who's passing by. Yeah, like, at swearing. The same time, like, you shouldn't have, like, a baby infant or, like, two-year-old at a casino.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Because there's
like,
really
it's
nothing
like,
keeping a kid in there. Like, you're gambling, you're drinking, or you're, like, I don't know.
Yeah, there's not like a fucking fun house yeah. in it. It's like there's literally like two things, yeah. drinking, gambling, now there's bowling, and there's a movie theater.
Okay,
it's like,
okay, a movie
okay,
theater
cool.
maybe.
We're going drunk bowling and drunk movie watching. It's like, what are we, like, well, there's no activities that a baby should be here.
There's no like games.
Making babies would be more
there
likely.
There is a hotel.
There is a hotel.
Baby making.
Anyway, so July 12th.
July 12th, is 8 p.m.
8 p.m., okay.
Free show, it's outdoors. I'm hoping, I mean, we can't tell, but weather. I think it's
I think it's gonna be great. It's gonna be sunny.
Rain or shine.
It's gonna be sunny.
Let's keep that attitude. I like.
It's gonna
that.
Be sunny for sure. They told me.
Yeah,
it's
we
be
already
sunny.
Know.
Yeah, they I fucking already know. Like it's gonna be sunny. All right. So what else you got coming up?
I got that. I can't really speak much on it, but I'm looking to hop on a tour as a supporting act.
Okay.
There's a few names we're kind of in contact with. We're also booking the Big E, but we're gonna be on. Bigger stage this year, and
nice.
I'll be with a couple national acts.
Cool.
So things are on the up and up, man. It's only progressing, and that's like something that's really driven me. Like, there's gonna be a time where I always want to be in music. So like, even yeah. going back to like getting my degree, I want to work in music. Whether it's like setting up shows, like I'm not thinking like I'll fail in music, but if there is or ever is a day, and or even I'm like too old. I'll always have a hand in music.
Yeah.
Whether I'm like putting shows together, managing, producing, like I'm always going to be making music. So,
yeah.
It's a passion of mine. It's something I've always loved. Like, honestly, like my first love. Like, absolutely. That and like football. But shout out football.
Shout out to football.
Shout sure. out Pigskin.
Sure. I'm sure Pigskin's going to hear this. So we'll be good.
Goodell hears it.
What? Can you imagine? That'd be crazy. So where can people find your shit? Where can people find you on social media? Where can people find you upcoming? I know we said July 12th,
yeah,
but like,
yeah.
where can people listen to your music?
So
all that shit, plug away. Like this
Matt Maratea, MATTMARATEA. I think that's how you spell it. No, I'm just kidding. you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, all my music's on Apple, Spotify, SoundCloud. I got a new EP out right now, Happy Medium, that can be streamed. Would appreciate Apple Music or Spotify just so I can try to get some
numbers up.
Yeah, get some numbers up. Actually, it helps a lot. Like,
it's really fucking good too.
Analytically like, too, because I can see where people are playing. So yeah. like, it's really cool to be like, oh, like, so like Al Capone. So I have a song Al Capone with King Los.
Yeah,
maybe not a lot of people know him, but he used to be signed to Diddy and Bad Boy.
Yeah,
we got together in Boston, made a song when he was on tour. Actually, the story for that's kind of crazy. Do you mind if I expand?
Expand.
All right.
You
so
got somewhere to be. I got nowhere to be.
I don't do.
I'm assuming people listening are just aimlessly wandering around their house doing ditches or supposed to be working.
Well, tune in because it's coming at you now. So, King Los is an artist, like absolute, like crazy spitter. Like he's a through and through just like lyricist, which like I always loved about him because like I feel like that's like a dying art in hip hop and music alone. Just like anything catchy, kind of people gravitate towards. But this guy can like truly rap, like unbelievably. And sent him this song I had out of Al Capone. Which is definitely one of my best songs, or like at least numbers wise. And I sent it to him like 3 months prior to actually meeting him. And they're like, no, like we love the song, but you're just like too busy touring and like maybe we'll get around to it. So in my head, I'm like, oh, they're just like pushing this to the side.
Yeah, it's
so.
Like, good one. Yeah, like I haven't heard that before.
Yeah, yeah, right. I'm like, all right, buddy. Like,
yeah, it's like, cool. You don't got to stiff me like that.
You can just tell me you don't want to get on it. Yeah. But like, I guess they were actually serious about liking the song. So they announced tour like a month later.
Yeah.
And they're coming to Boston. At the time, I'm back home. I believe it was like, so like, I lived at Worcester State and then I would come home in the summers.
Yep.
And so I'm back home in West Springfield, Mass. And I saw they were touring in Boston. So like a week prior, I'm like, hey, like I saw your Boston date. I will book the nearest studio, like near the venue. Like at the time, like my boy Billy Morehouse, shout out to him. He's helped me a lot in like the Boston scene, getting shows and whatnot. He's working at Bristol Studios, which is out by Berklee College, and completely cleared the night. Just no sessions tonight. And like, dude, that cost them a lot of money. So I hit up Los's team again. I'm like, hey, like, saw you're in Boston. Like, let's bang the song out if you're like really into it and like want to get on it, like you said. So they literally pulled up. Mind you, I drove out to Boston myself.
Yeah.
And I'm literally, they're like, we're going to be at the studio in an hour and a half. We live, what, like 2 hours and 15 minutes from Boston?
Yeah.
Bro, I have never driven.
You can make it faster in my life. If you're like, if no traffic, but like, when is it?
Thank God they're a little late. And I get to the studio, just me and Billy. Billy's got like there's a video of us actually like recording on YouTube. And Billy like recorded the whole thing, thank God, because like that was a moment I really wanted to capture. And we're just vibing in the studio. And Lo shows up with two Sprinter vans, bro, of people. So there's just like smoking hot chicks. Like I'm like, what the fuck?
Just coming in a bit.
These dudes are just iced out. Like just rolling blunts.
Do you think,
like,
do you think they were trying to like intimidate you? Like they're just
being no,
like,
they're just on tour, bro.
That's like, what they do. Like they just
that's
roll
how
like
they
that.
Roll, man. That's they're like 30 crazy. Deep, bro. They filled the studio, that's and now crazy. I'm just like in there. I'm like, well, like we're just vibing, honestly. Like we're playing the song over and over. He just hops in the booth, bro. Doesn't write a thing down. Like he chopped it up into like 8 bars, which is like a segment, and he would like punch in, which means like he would record like 8 bars, punch, record more, and like punch. So like, but like the way he recorded was so cool. Like, I don't know. It was almost like how Lil Wayne does his shit.
Yeah.
So like they don't write anything. They just like, it's all like off the top pretty much.
Yeah.
So, did the verse, like they mixed it right there. Like week later I dropped it. That was my first ever iTunes single. That was my first time like on all streaming platforms. So like that got like a huge response. Like ton of people bought the song. Like then from then on I started putting music on like Apple and Spotify and things like that. But it was just like so crazy how everything happened. Like I sent him the song. Like,
it just worked
3-4 months. And it was like organic too. Like it wasn't like me like begging. It was just like, hey, like I see you have this Boston date, like let's get together. Let's like about it.
But that's still like you're following up. Like you gotta follow up. Like you have
to, like anything, job interview, anything.
A lot of people who are good at things like are too in their own head to ask and to be like, hey, like
or they already think it's not possible.
It's either not possible or it's like I don't need this shit. Like when I'm big,
dude, on my own.
Fuck that guy. You know, it's
no, seriously.
People do that shit all the time, and like I know other people like in what I do that do that. It's like, why the fuck you do it? Like it's just like who are you?
It comes
you're
with like
anybody.
An ego thing.
Like, yeah, it's like and you're not anybody yet.
That's well, it's funny you say that because like. I want to work with, like, a lot of people. I want to work with as many producers as I can, artists. Like, even if I don't want you on a song, like, not saying, like, I don't want people on my songs, but, like, being in a room full of creatives is amazing. Whether you're just bouncing ideas off each other or just like just vibing, talking about like your plans or like what you're doing, like how you get things done, just like seeing how other people work. Like you can't have this like crazy ego where you're like, I'm doing it my way and I'm not learning anything ever. So like just be like being in the studio with Los, I was just inspired. Like seeing how he works, I was like never seen someone like even record like that. So I was like, wow, maybe I can like pick up a few things, like picked his brain about just like networking and stuff and like how he like came about. Like dude from Maryland, just like putting out constant, consistent content. 3 seasons in a row. Wow. Constant, consistent content.
What's that called? That onomatopoeia?
Onomatopoeia.
That's onomatopoeia. Fuck.
Shit.
Shout out fourth grade.
I fuck with fourth grade.
God damn.
But it's just, it's really cool to see how other people like work. And like, that's what I feel like. I don't like to say I'm on like a local scale because like my audience has definitely gotten bigger.
Yeah.
Like definitely in the New England area and like, like going back to Spotify, a lot of listeners in like LA, Colorado, things like that. Like even after that Midwest tour, like still getting like really good numbers out there and stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just don't, I don't like how like a lot of local people like don't want to work together and like try to all help each other. Cause like,
yeah,
there's, we can only benefit from like having shows together and working together and like, we all have a common goal of like making something of ourselves, so it's like, why not?
And at the end of the day, it's like, do you know anyone that listens to one artist?
No.
It's like, can you imagine meeting somebody like that? Like,
and you know how many artists get discovered through other artists?
Yeah, 100%. It's the same thing with podcasts. Like a feature? It's like there's like you to go on this podcast, this guy listens to you on this podcast. Yeah, yeah. Like that's how
cross
it works.
Promotion,
it's like,
man.
It's cross promotion, and it works really well because it's a listening based area. Yeah. It's not eyeballs on TV.
Yeah,
it's
glued,
not like it's
yeah.
really like you can listen to it in your car and take it from your pocket
leisure.
To your car to your work,
yeah,
to your kitchen, to your whatever. Like it's like it's a crazy thing. And music and this are very similar in that way, where like,
of course,
it matters where you are.
Yeah,
like it. That's the
it does.
That's the medium, I guess. Is like
and that's
whatever.
Like I've always been asked, like, why don't I move? Like, it's a very good question, and I feel like it's not. I feel like it is something that might have to happen soon, whether it's like New York or like.
Yeah.
I just feel like I have to have like a really good like plan for that.
Do you though? Do you need a plan?
You can pick up and just go, but
I think that's the way to do it. If I was going to do it 100%, I would just be like, I'm here now.
Because
then you like, it's the same thing with getting face tattoos, right? Like you
it's here now.
You got to like, you have it. You got to fucking do this shit. Like you're,
right.
You're forced to do it.
No,
if you're
I
got a plan, I got a backup plan, I got this plan.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Like, no, it's true.
So I don't know.
It's true.
It's crazy.
It is like, it is something I think about a lot, but you know. But yeah, outside of that, follow me on Twitter, Instagram, Matt Maritea. Thank you very much for having me, man.
Thank
Seriously,
you. Thank
great.
You for doing this.
This is great.
Be sure to listen to the new music, the current music,
Absolutely.
And the next music.
Got a lot coming out, too, as well.
Word.
So probably new stuff when this, maybe probably before this airs.
So this will air, what's today? It's third. Today's the third.
Today's the third. May
so
3rd.
So it'll air like next week.
Cool.
So when's the new music dropping?
I'm
music?
Dropping a video next week.
All right, maybe we... so there's a video coming out when this fucking... I'll link it in this episode. We'll time it correctly.
Hell yeah, all right.
We'll figure it out, people. All right, thanks for being on, brother.
Thank you very much, all right, man.
All right, that was episode number 59 with Matt Maritea. Thank you, Matt, for coming on the show. Appreciate all you guys listening, and thank you to Sawatch Hemp for sponsoring this episode of the podcast. You can save 15% on your purchase of the best in CBD product at www.sawatch.co and use promo code Out of Bounds. Thanks again. We'll talk to you guys soon. We have, I don't know who's next. I don't know what episode's next, but we'll figure it out. 60. So we'll figure it out. Hopefully it's a good one. All right. Thanks.